broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
A pair of hopalong boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Bonnie and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. And the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, happy to have you along. I am Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live. This is the broadcast for December 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We had our guest on, Mr. Ken Cromar, well-known filmmaker. MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com, his website. Order your miracles film today. We talked about please donate to Barb and Ken's IRS deep state battle. We also talked about the IRS illegally steals and auctions off Barbie and Ken's home. Barb just wants his day, she just wants her day in court. So does Ken. Is God dead, ladies and gentlemen? No. Do miracles happen anymore? Absolutely yes. The film is about America's college students have questions. Fact, our nation, ladies and gentlemen. And its birth and our freedoms did not happen by accident. The founders and patriots prayed hard, had faith, and received miracles indeed. They prayed for miracles and they got them. So why is this history no longer taught in our schools? All right, anyway, a bunch of people in the movie. Great movie, by the way. Check it out. Get your copy today. Makes great Christmas presents and helps Ken at the same time. The website, one more time, MiraclesInGodWeTrust.com. That was hour one, hour two. We talked about have yourself a merry little Christmas. Judy Garden lyrics are different than the lyrics you know today. Yeah. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Go check out the Judy Garden. Judy Garland lyrics. And you'll see how different they are. Remember, the Judy Garland version was first done, or whatever you want to call it, sung, produced, in World War II. And the lyrics are uniquely different, and it kind of reminds you of this Christmas. A good friend of mine briefed me on that. I don't get the credit for that interesting observation, but I wanted to relay it to you. Didn't want to mention his name because I don't think he wants his name mentioned on the show, but he did bring that out to me, and I find that a very interesting deal. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Two versions, different lyrics. Go check it out and figure out why. What the difference? What's going on? You can listen to the broadcast yesterday at lovingliberty.net, or you can check it out yourself and figure it out. But there you go. A lot of fun for Christmas, huh? Dr. Deborah Brooks, shame on her. She tells us all, stay home. And she busts out for a big multi-generational family holiday. See, do these extremists, these liberals, these whacked out, do they really, what do they believe on this? Do they not believe that those social distancing really matters? Or do they just think they're elite, so it doesn't matter, they can do what they want, but you have to stay home, you great unwashed? Or are they just completely ignorant of their actions versus their advice? I mean, I just don't get it. I have a feeling they just don't believe that the social distancing matters. It matters in everybody else's lives, but not in their lives. So there you have it. Can ivermectin be used to treat COVID-19? Coronavirus. Great, great question. In fact, I think I'm going to ask our guest that here in just a second coming up. But anyway, very interesting stuff with that indeed. Are we willing to talk about the truth? Sidney Powell, they say, back at the White House to pitch executive orders to seize voting machines. We'll talk about that, too. I don't think she'll have a whole lot of luck in that. Our prayers are with her, but again, time will tell. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz says, prosecute and jail anyone involved in voter fraud. Ted's right, although I still don't believe we'll get it done. Dominion got caught lying. Matt Staver, Liberty Council chairman, with the report. Stimulus passes. Some may see checks within a week, they say. But Donald hasn't signed it yet either. Yeah, the legislation is massive. 5,600 plus pages. No one read it. They all signed it. Shame on everyone that did not read it but did sign it. You wouldn't do that with your own mortgage or your own loan, would you? Climate change legislation included in the coronavirus relief deal. That's exactly the point. Why are we passing coronavirus relief? And it's got climate change and who knows what in it all the way through 5,600 pages. What a shame. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. Still available online at lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. Spread the word. Tell your neighbor. Donate liberally, would you please? All right. Without further ado, our guest, Mr. Tim Starks. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Appreciate you having me on today.
Well, we have so much to talk about. First off, I don't know if you know this, but Trump pardoned former Representative Steve Stockman. Did you see this?
No, I didn't. I didn't catch that.
Anyway, I find that fantastic news. Steve Stockman has some underlying health conditions, and so our prayers are with him and his lovely wife, Patty, and his family. And I'm grateful that he gets to go home. Good for President Trump pardoning Steve Stockman, though. I find that to be a win. We tried so hard, couldn't get it done. But we got it done. And thank heavens for that. So anyway, that's an interesting tidbit. We're going to try to get Patty and or Steve on to get kind of an update on that. Quickly, I want to talk about the coronavirus stuff. There's a few headlines that relate to this that I find very interesting. The first one says this: new COVID strain is already here. Experts warn that it's expected to be 50% more transmissible, but no evidence that it's more deadly. And both vaccine companies are testing to see if their vaccine will work on that new strain of coronavirus. What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that the COVID is going to mutate. I mean, that's what the COVID virus does. That's why they have not been able to come up with a vaccine for years for the common cold, because it just mutates constantly. And it's, you know, it's something that has been impossible for as long as they've been doing vaccines. And the one they've got now, in my opinion, isn't even a vaccine. It's an immune stimulator. If you look at how it works, it doesn't work the same way as our past vaccines do. And some would tell you, well, we're in a new era of vaccines. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you look at the definition of a vaccine and look at how this works, it doesn't even fit it, in my opinion. But
in other words, what you're saying is this new vaccine is based on RNA involvement, which is slightly different than before, and the way that it kind of stimulates your immune system or tricks your immune system into believing you're sick when you're really not, is a lot different than the way they used to do. They used to have live and or inert versions of the illness in the vaccines, controlled in such a way to crank up your antibodies to it, but you were really responding to something that was the illness. In this case, now what we're doing is tricking the body using RNA. It's kind of a new frontier. They don't really bring that up much because it doesn't build confidence in the vaccines, but that's probably a simple man's summary, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's based off of Keytruda on one of the vaccines I read, and anybody's familiar with Keytruda, it's used to fight cancer, and one of the dangers of Keytruda is it can cause your body to turn on itself. And through the study of HIV and cancer, they've used those studies in producing these vaccines, or so-called vaccines. I call them immune boosters because they boost your immune system with messenger cells and has to do with proteins. And it's going to basically cause your system to have a more active immune system, which if you look at what HIV and some of these autoimmune diseases have already, that's what they do. They're overactive immune systems that eventually give out and give way to AIDS and other sicknesses and illnesses.
Interesting. So the vaccine, quite a bit different. They're basically saying, hey, you know what? The new strain's already here, and we don't know if the vaccine will deal with the new strain or not. Now, here's an interesting statement from Joe Biden. Joe Biden, quote, our darkest days in the battle against COVID are ahead of us, not behind us. Isn't that an interesting statement for Joe to make right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's... well, and I think if anybody has really looked into how we're fighting it, they would agree that what we're doing isn't really, I can't say that it's a definite for sure, hey, we got this in the bag. I think it's just something that's going to be there. But the problem is it going to be that deadly, or is this just another, you know, thing that's going to run its course for 3 years and then kind of dissipate down to something that you just expect every year?
Well, and in my opinion, if it's not more deadly and it does transfer quite a bit more rapidly, in other words, spread more rapidly, what it will do is just race us towards herd immunity sooner naturally, right?
Yeah, and I mean, the vaccine that they come up with actually doesn't give you herd immunity if you look at the way it works, so...
But natural getting the illness always develops herd immunity over time if you're patient, ladies and gentlemen. All right, hang tight. Quick pause. You are listening to Sam Bushman, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Gentlemen, a reality in contrast. We're trying to celebrate Christmas, but Anthony Fauci doubling down and saying, hey, the darkest days of the COVID are not behind us. They're ahead of us. And that's a very concerning statement for a Joe Biden to make at this juncture. Ladies and gentlemen, more than 2.1 million people worldwide, including more than 600 100,000 Americans have already been vaccinated with a coronavirus vaccine so far. The first doses of the coronavirus vaccines have been administered already in 6 countries. That's according to Bloomberg. In the United States alone, 17 doses of the vaccines have already been administered since December the 14th. Man, I sure wish they could get testing on par with how many vaccines they're giving out. But it's very interesting. This is a vaccine we know very, very little about, even though they want you to believe we know a lot about it. They're playing games in new territory here, Tim Starks.
Well, Sam, I agree with you partially on that, but I think they know quite a bit about this vaccine. They've been working on it for 12 years, and the thing of it is they couldn't get it for approval because the FDA would not approve it because of the dangers involved with this thing. Until now, they was able to fast-track it through. Just for instance, this type of stimulation, immune stimulation, was only allowed in the form of Keytruda. It was allowed for patients that were going to die anyway, such as cancer and stuff like that. So if you had a serious illness, they allowed it and approved it because, of course, you're going to die anyway. So what, you know, what's a bad side effect or, you know, dealing with that if it's going to save your life? So that is what's scary about this, is this type of design of immune stimulator, I'm calling it. I don't call it a vaccine. And that's the scary part about this. But here's the thing that you got to take into account here. The reason why they're saying that our days, the dark days are ahead of us on this thing, is because they know that this isn't a vaccine. A vaccine, a typical vaccine, introduces the virus, you know, in a sterile form or, you know, the dead form of it. And it identifies that. It puts it in the memory, and the messenger cells identify that every time it comes in the body, and they attack it. And they ramp up the immune system and attack that virus. And usually it stays with you for, you know, 7 months to a year, year and a half, and that's why you get vaccinated every year. But with the coronavirus, it doesn't work that way. There's the body doesn't remember for some reason with the coronavirus because it changes so much. That's why you can get the code, get over the code, and literally get the code again in a week or two. Whereas the flu, usually when you get that strain of flu, you're done with it for that year, you're good to go. But the cold is totally different. And so this is where this virus, instead of targeting the actual and identifying the virus coming in the body, it's just ramping up your immune system in general. So it's going to fight against a little bit of everything. The problem is, how long does it keep your immune system ramped up? I mean, does it wear the immune system out? I mean, how does it know when to ramp down? And how long does the effects of this last? That's the questions I have. And if you look at Keytruda on their own website, they tell you that when you take Keytruda, which is an RNA type of medicine, it will has this side effect to potentially attack your own body. And this is on their own website. This isn't conspiracy. This isn't rumors. This is right on their own website.
Very interesting indeed when you talk about that. It's also interesting. There's a new study that came out. There's a link between COVID and sleep apnea. So you don't get good sleep, and hey, the COVID can rage and get started in your life. They say, believe it or not, melatonin used to reduce the COVID effects in that study.
Hmm.
Kind of an interesting twist as well, but it would make sense, right? The stronger your immune system is, the greater your ability to handle the COVID if and or when it hits, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing that worries me about this, and keep in mind, you know, this is just an opinion. You know, I'm a critical thinker. I analyze things, you know, and I look at this vaccine that they call vaccine, this immune stimulator, and I look at some of the telltale signs that start to make me wonder. You know, one of the things, too, is that people that take the vaccine test false positives for HIV. Because it's messing with the same proteins that HIV messes with. So when you take all this into account, you have to really question, you know, what's this going to do in 2 years, 5 years? I don't know. But I do know this. They've got the high-level people in management and everybody else convinced that this is safe and it's good to go because they truly believe it is too. And I know several people with some pharmaceutical companies who've already taken the vaccine and who are confident that it's a good idea, because they would believe and rely on the information that's told to them by the technical people of their companies. Now, do the technical people believe in it totally? I don't know. Obviously, the FDA didn't believe in it early on because they never approved it early on until now. They only allowed, like I said, this type of technology to be used in, you know, if you're going to die or in cases where you had no other choice. And why they're not looking at ivermectin and putting ivermectin more into play, I don't know. There is, unfortunately, a group of doctors in Florida and Texas that have been doing a lot of clinical trials with ivermectin. Very successful. One doctor, even before the Senate committee, even said, look, if you take ivermectin, you will not get the COVID if you take it in the way we prescribe it. It acts
and this is interesting to me. This is interesting to me because it's explosive testimony in a congressional hearing, if you will, and the media didn't talk about it a bit.
Yeah, and it's because it behind ivermectin. Merrick gave up the let's so-called patents or the way to make money off of ivermectin. They gave it up in the 70s, I think. 70s or early 80s, they gave up that patent right. And so there's no money in ivermectin. So why would they put the research behind it? Why would they promote it?
For the simple fact that we say we wanted to get to the bottom of this, we want to save lives. We want to go ahead and let people get back to quote normal. We want to go ahead and stamp out the virus and you know, because we want to do what's right and bring back life in the economy. That would be my reasons.
Well, yeah, but you're thinking from a morally sound standpoint, Sam. You're not thinking from a, you know, how do I benefit financially from this?
Sad, but true, I guess.
There's two ways to look at that, and I don't think that the big pharma is looking at this from a moral standpoint.
Well, they say this, more than 3 million deaths will make this the deadliest year in U.S. history. Life expectancy for 2020, they say, could end up dropping as much as 3 full years, says the CDC's Robert Anderson. The COVID has become the third leading cause of death behind heart disease and cancer. I mean, imagine those kind of statements.
Well, where did you hear that 3 million number before this?
Oh, they said that's how many people were going to die from just the COVID, not in general.
Yeah, but I mentioned that in one of our conversations as well. I believe that you could see a number as high as 3 million as well. I don't think this is behind us. I think this is, you know, here's the thing about this. You're going to have things in nature that are going to run their course, I believe. And we can't live in fear. We just have to live and move forward. You know, take the medicines that work, you know, do the things you can do. And, it's going to run its course. I mean, I have came in contact with several people that are positive. I even think I came down with it. Had all the symptoms. I started to lose my sense of smell. I took ivermectin myself, and I was over it the next day. I know several other friends who have done the same thing. They were over it within, you know, 12 hours. I've come in contact with people, direct contact. One person even coughed in my face. He was so sick, and so far, I've done okay. So I'm not going to worry about it. I don't wear the mask. I don't worry about that kind of stuff. You know, when you go into the store, of course, you got to wear the mask. It's polite for others, I guess. But when I'm around other people and friends, we don't wear them. We don't worry about it. Because it's not one of them things to where I think that wearing a mask that isn't even an N100 approved mask to stop the virus is going to do you any good from getting it. And I believe personally that when you are sick with the virus and you're coughing into the mask, you're coating the mask, and every time you cough, you're pushing it through and aerosolizing it as it is. But, you know, to each his own.
Well, can ivermectin be used to treat COVID successfully? Documentation suggests the answer is yes. In fact, other countries are using it big time. We'll talk about it in seconds. Tim Starks on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Trump calls the long-awaited coronavirus relief bill a disgrace and demands $2,000 stimulus checks for Americans. Congress approved a one-time $600 payment. The president called the 5,600-page spending bill wasteful and filled with unnecessary items. The Israeli Knesset office confirmed early Wednesday that the country is heading to its fourth elections in 2 years. A deadline for parliament to pass a new budget passed at midnight, forcing the Knesset to dissolve and automatically triggering new elections on March 23rd. LaGuardia Airport control tower chatter reveals two people were arrested after a Delta Airlines pilot radioed the tower that passengers, along with their Great Dane puppy, had bailed out on the tarmac by opening an emergency door and going down the inflatable slide Monday. Radio traffic to the pilot said, "It looks like the individual is being arrested at this time." This is USA Radio News.
67% of U.S. households own a pet, according to the American Pet Products Association. And while caring for one has always required time, love, and financial commitment, the pandemic has brought added stress and financial uncertainty, which could impact how you care for yours. Fortunately, there are things you can do to help be prepared for both routine care and unexpected illness or injury. For starters, financing options such as the Care Credit Health and Pet Care Credit Card. It allows cardholders to pay vet expenses over time with monthly installment payments, and it's accepted at 8 out of 10 eligible veterinary care providers across the country. You can also consider getting pet insurance. Pets Best, for example, can help cover unexpected expenses like cancer, surgeries, accidents, and more. In addition, they offer optional wellness coverage for ongoing expenses like vaccinations and medications. You create a personalized insurance plan, pay a monthly premium, and get reimbursed. Finally, there are wellness plans that many vets offer that cover certain types of care for a monthly fee. So be sure to ask yours about what they are and how they can fit within your budget. Being prepared for a lifetime of care can make all the difference.
Let's get a Christmas coronavirus update.
With Christmas right around the corner and holiday travel picking up, many health officials are asking Americans to scale back their celebrations to help stave off another surge of coronavirus cases after the holiday period. Dr. Anthony Fauci tells CNN that he's never said he wants to cancel Christmas. Instead, he hopes Americans will take the proper precautions to keep their holiday gatherings as safe as possible.
But whenever I talk about being careful, someone will say, well, he wants to cancel Christmas. I don't want to do that. I want people to be more careful. I want them to limit traveling to the extent possible. And when you congregate, try to do it with a limited number of people, preferably people in the same household or a few close people who you know are also being very careful. Avoid the 20, 25 people at a house at a big setting. Those are the things that are quite risky.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
This is USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry for the delay here. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. We're talking about an interesting idea, ivermectin being used to treat the COVID. And you say, what? I haven't even heard of that solution. I know. That's kind of my concern. Why haven't you heard about it, ladies and gentlemen? But you know what? It can make a tremendous difference. Tim Stark's with me. Other countries are using it incredibly successfully. Tim?
Well, yeah, and you take one of those countries, they're using it down in South America, they're using it in Mexico, they're using it in India. One thing you got to understand about India is a country that is the second, I believe, most populated country. The density of the population is far greater than China. So they run second to China in population, but they run number one, or not number one, they run in higher density than China. So when you look at population versus density, there's a big difference in how these disease transmits or a virus transmits. So with the density they have, which is greater than China's, and the population they have, they're a petri dish for this kind of spread of a virus. So they have to really be on top of things, or they can lose numbers in a big way. And they have half the deaths that we have. So,
and let's be very clear, they have quadruple the population of the United States for a comparison.
Oh yeah, yeah. They, I mean, their population far outweighs ours. So the numbers are far greater, and they have half the deaths. Now, I compare us to India because India is a country that's a lot like the U.S., where they have a lot of freedom. They mingle, they socialize with people a lot over there. They're very interactive with each other over there in India. Whereas a lot of countries like China, that's communist, that can shut you down and block your movement. India's not that way. So China can control things in a different way, whereas like the U.S., we have our freedoms. We're not used to being locked down. So when you're dealing with a pandemic, you can't just take people's freedoms away. So you have to use other methods. And the reason why I want to talk about India is because I look at them as a country that, like I said, has far greater density. They have a lot of the movements like we have here. So they have to deal with some of the same issues, but they have half the deaths. And they have approved ivermectin to treat the COVID. So, and they just recently did that. So a lot of the deaths they've had have been up before the actual use of ivermectin. But the fact that they've approved ivermectin should speak volumes, because this is a country that takes medicine very serious.
Now, let's just explain to people what ivermectin is. It's been around forever, right?
Yeah, it's been used to treat scabies in America. There's actually an interesting report that has to do with the treatment of scabies in a nursing home. It was two sister nursing homes that had all of its patients exposed to COVID directly from a individual at both facilities. And the facility that had a scabies outbreak and had treated everybody with ivermectin, zero came down with the disease or the virus. The other facility, which did not have the scabies outbreak and had not treated their residents with ivermectin, had a 68% and I think it was a 68% or 58% mortality from the COVID virus. So that's pretty profound when you think about that. So ivermectin has a very proven prophylactic results for preventing COVID. And it actually prevents the protein, the invasion of the nucleus into the cells. So that's how it works. But it has been used in Africa to prevent river blindness. And we use it in America in animals to get rid of parasites. And we also use it to get rid of parasites in humans as well. There's also people with HIV come down with a infection in the intestines and other illnesses that come down with this infection, and they use ivermectin to fight that off, the parasite. It works good in those patients as well.
Anyway, it's a very interesting drug, if you will, because there's no patent on it, and therefore it's very, very, very inexpensive. The way you can take it, you can take it orally, but it's probably best through a nebulizer. Because it goes straight to your lungs and can help literally, in my opinion, circumvent the coronavirus getting into your lungs and making it impossible to breathe. It's a very,
well,
very
and, you know, just one thing we want to mention here too, Sam. We're not giving medical advice. We're just talking about some of the research that's been done on it and some of the experiences myself and others have had.
Because in America,
it.
You're not free of your speech, and so you got to make all these disclaimers and stuff. Even though you believe something and you've tried something and you've done something and you feel very familiar with it and you probably know more about it than the doctors in America know about it, but yet you're not really allowed to say that because, by golly, they could violate your free speech and you could go to jail for claiming that you're somebody that you're not. You know, that kind of stuff, right?
Exactly.
And, so, and I highlight that. I highlight that really because I want to make a point, ladies and gentlemen. In America, you know what? We never said we were doctors. To have to make some kind of a disclaimer like that because we're feared of being in trouble or saying something wrong and having it go all sideways. And okay, this is America, folks, not China. Now, Tim is just expressing his personal opinion from his own personal research and his own experience, which he's entitled to. Does that summarize it well enough?
Sure.
All right, go ahead, sir.
And one of the things, too, that that people need to understand with ivermectin, too, there are some dangers with anything. If you are on warfarin, for instance, you would probably not want to take ivermectin. And I would say anybody, before they take ivermectin, would want to consult with a physician who is familiar with ivermectin and who approves the use of it, such as these doctors in Texas or Florida. You know, if you go consulting with your normal doctor who doesn't believe in anything but what he's told and what's been given to him, you may have a little more difficult time. But if consult with someone who works with it and who's familiar with it would be my suggestion. But here's the other thing, too. What's really unique about ivermectin, too, and the reason why you don't want to take it with warfarin, is it actually keeps your blood from clotting. And one of the things that happens with people with COVID is they get blood clots and they die of heart attack. Or they have a blood clot, which causes organ failures or other things in the body. Stroke, I think. So, you know, this is another thing that ivermectin prevents is the clotting. Of course, it magnifies that warfarin result. So you would be like overdosing on warfarin if you took ivermectin, I believe. So you just want to make sure you know all of the things that can potentially happen with anything. And of course, every drug out there has a side effect with some people, not with others. So you want to do your due diligence.
There you have it. Anyway, we don't want to go on about this forever, but we did want to really highlight the answers. Not only is it this being used successfully in India, but many other countries as well. This is not something new. This is not something untested. This is something where, hey, if they're going to claim, you know, that all these people have to get the expensive vaccinations, more than 2.1 million people and growing at an alarming rate, and then they tell you that, hey, you know what? We've got this situation where more than 3 million deaths will make this the most deadly year in history, and that life expectancy is going down 3 years. And, hey, you know what? It's only behind heart disease and cancer is the third leading cause of death in America today. You know, hey, it's worth really looking at ivermectin to see, hey, you know, what difference can it make? And I think that ivermectin needs to be really, really discussed openly. It was in Congress already. And the doctor literally laid his whole credibility and his whole team on the line about this. So understand, Tim and Sam are not medical doctors, but there is a medical doctor that testified before Congress who represents a whole group of medical doctors that absolutely staked the whole organization's credibility on this solution, Tim. That's worth noting.
Yep, and the thing I'll just mention too, Sam, I am a critical thinker and an analysis and an investigator, and I'm very good at what I do. I work in the field of security. I have cracked and successfully, you know, investigated and solved many solutions for things. I'm a solution provider, and so I base all of my analysis and research on doctors and on science information that they have given. So this isn't just like I'm going out here looking at this and coming up with stuff myself. I base it on all my research. Anybody can research. Anybody can think critically. The information's out there. One other thing, too, I just want to mention, too, that about this immune booster that they're calling a vaccine. And this is the part that you got to ask yourself questions on this stuff. And I'm not telling people you shouldn't get it. I'm saying ask yourself questions to know if it's going to work for you. And you getting ready to go into break?
Yes, sir. Quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Stark's with us. IT security consultant, systems troubleshooter on your radio. Ivermectin. Very interesting stuff before Congress. Did you hear about it from anybody else but Tim?
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
And you're listening to Tim Starks on your radio, securities expert and more, talking about ivermectin. We're not doctors, but we are highlighting in Congress, doctors spoke out very boldly in favor of this, documented the history, the success, and literally staked not only the doctor's reputation, but he represented a whole organization that he basically doubled down and said, look, we've tested this in America. It's being used all over the world, and it's really the answer. If you take this ivermectin, you will not get sick as a proactive measure. And if you get sick and you do it early, the chances of you dying from the COVID are almost zero. To me, the fact that this isn't out in the public discussion, when it was testified before Congress, Congress knows about it. It almost borders on criminal, in my opinion. Now, this is just my opinion, but I'm just saying, you look at that and you go, what on earth is going on, Tim?
Well, and I'm going to give your listeners some homework, Sam. So, you know, we could just talk about this all day long, but I'm going to give them some questions to seek the answers to. And one question I'm going to say is, it was with this so-called vaccine, the immune booster stimulator, I call it, do you get herd immunity if you take it? And from what I've found, no, you don't, because you can still contract the virus when you take this. What this does is this doesn't prevent you from getting the virus. This helps your immune system fight it quicker and so that you don't have the results. So if you can still contract the virus and pass it on to someone else, this vaccine doesn't give you herd immunity. And I think those that are working with this know this, and this is why they know that the fight's still ahead of us. Because if it did, they'd say, hey, this is over. We got it. Hey, we got it licked. But they know that isn't the case. So if that's not – and so that's one question. Do you get herd immunity? Can you still get the virus when you take the vaccine? And how long does the vaccine results last? Does it last 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years? Does it put your body into immune system overload? I mean, does it cause an autoimmune disease? I don't know. You know, I've looked at some of the information, some of the questions I have not found the answers to. I have seen some discussions on this where there's concern about this. And I looked at some of the FDA stuff on some of the early mRNA type medicines and some of the issues they have with them, to where they only approve some of them to be used in death case, you know, imminent death or, you know, severe conditions of the body. So people need to look into this. This stuff's all available. You can go out to the websites and find all this information from the manufacturers all the way up to FDA hearings. It's all out there. So don't take our word for it. Go look it up. Then look up ivermectin. You know, ivermectin may not be the answer either, but at this point with the study and the research is into it and the information and the data that we have collected, it looks like a pretty good viable solution at this point.
Well, and this doctor and his organization, I find it interesting that, you know, Congress already has been told about this in no uncertain terms, right?
Well, and they have. And as a matter of fact, this this Congressman Peters, he actually got irate with the Senate hearings and he obviously must be getting some money, in my opinion, from a pharmaceutical, because he really wanted to defend the pharmaceutical's position and just blast the whole idea of ivermectin and blast at these guys and said he's going to rely on science. Now, how do you tell a man who's in that field of science that you're going to rely on science when you're not in that field of science and you don't want to listen to his information? That just blows my mind. That's like going to your mechanic and saying, and he tells you what's wrong with your car, and you just blast him and say, there's no way I'm going to listen to a mechanic. And the mechanic's like, I am the mechanic.
All right, and we're talking about Senate testimony of Dr. Pierre Corey of the Ivermectin Miracle is what we're talking about.
And he's a very well-published doctor. He's very recognized and very respected.
And here's what he says. I can't keep watching patients die needlessly. That's a very interesting statement from a doctor in Senate testimony. How come the average American doesn't know about this, where he's saying, I can't keep watching patients die needlessly? This isn't an idle statement. This is an absolute flat-out plea, in my opinion, from the good doctor to say, what's going on? Why are we not working on this? And he begs for more study, more review, but he says we've done enough that should stand on its own. But, you know, I plead for more. And all they did in Congress was pretty much, as far as I can tell, ignore the guy.
Well, and you said it earlier, Sam, our freedom of speech goes as far as if it's in line with the mainstream media's agenda, if it's in line with Facebook's agenda, Twitter's agenda, you know, if it's in line with all the big tech agenda and anybody else who controls it, if it's in the line, you've got the freedom to speak. But the moment that your speech is not in alignment with them, then that freedom's gone. So right now, this whole study of ivermectin, that freedom to speak about it and get the word out there effectively, people can speak and you can be heard. But to effectively do it, for the mainstream media to talk about it in a big way, for it to really spread and be allowed to spread, it's not happening because it's against big pharma. And let's face it, money runs the world. And whether we want to face it or not, and big pharma is big money.
Anyway, I look at this and I say Congress has already had testimony on it. Doctors are speaking out boldly about it. And I think it's criminal to have it withheld from the American people at this point. I agree with you. It may not be the only answer, but it is one serious question. Can ivermectin be used to treat COVID-19, the coronavirus? And then a doctor in Senate testimony, Dr. Pierre Corey, on the ivermectin miracle. I can't keep watching patients die needlessly. Let's really work on this, was his plea. And either got ignored or mocked in Congress, basically, as far as I can see. And then the mainstream press failed to report on
individuals.
He got ignored by some individuals, most, and then he got criticized heavily by others. I don't know anybody that has taken his testimony and done their best to make it go viral. So nobody, as far as I can tell, is helping him, is the point.
And the part about this that really cracks me up, he got mocked and criticized by someone who knows nothing about medicine, who has not got a degree in medicine. Like I said, that's like mocking your mechanic when you go to a mechanic for advice. You know, it's just ludicrous, and it's criminal, like you said, Sam, that this isn't being looked into more. This isn't being, taken more serious.
When
it
you've got
criminal.
Joe Biden running around going, the dark days are ahead of us. And then you've got Anthony Fauci going, hey, this thing ain't going away anytime soon. Even if you get the vaccine, you still got to wear a mask. You still got to social distance. And then they say, oh, yeah, it's a given that there's new strains in America that are doubly, their ability to spread is double. And well, they're using this to lock us down, spend a ton of money on expensive drugs. Then this guy testifies about it in Congress saying ivermectin is one of the great answers that we're not talking about. And then they mock this doctor. What they tried to say is, you know, why are you, doubling down on this in politics? And the doctor's like, what are you talking about? I'm not political.
It's because the other side, this is the great reset moment in history. This is the reset moment they've been looking for to happen, and they're going to make use of it. I mean, here's the thing. This isn't just words. This isn't just conspiracy. Look at the facts is what I would tell your listeners. Go look at the coronavirus relief bill. Why does global warming and the Green New Initiatives and stuff, what does that have to do with COVID? What does that have to do with fighting COVID? But this is being used to promote and put money into those agendas and to make those things mainstream, because this is the reset moment these individuals have been looking for. And like I said, they will make use of it. This isn't a matter of making up stuff. It's out there. Go look. Take the time to read what your congressman didn't read.
Where are the folks to stand up against this and say, hold on, you know what? We're not interested in a reset. We are interested in getting the COVID behind us. This is a life or death matter. This is a destroy the economy or not discussion. This is a, you know, there needs to be, I don't really see anybody boldly standing up. The closest one that, in my opinion, had a medical degree was Dr. Scott Atlas, who then resigned and quit. They claimed he wasn't the right kind of doctor. He's been standing out pretty boldly. There was a doctor in Canada. His name escapes me right this second, but he stood out pretty boldly. But for the most part, I don't really see very many speaking out about this.
Well, it's because people have become complacent. They have got their sources of information, and whatever that source may be, whether it be the news for you, your doctor, your neighbor, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, whatever it may be, people rely on those sources and they trust in those sources. The problem is that those sources all rely on a central focal point of information. It all comes from one person, and if it's corrupt at that level, then all the distribution of that information is faulted, and that's where we're at in America today.
Okay, the guy's name is Dr. Roger Hopkins, speaking out on how governments are dealing with the coronavirus. He says it's absolutely insane, absurd, how we're ignoring everything. His name is Dr. Roger Hopkinson, on how governments responded to COVID. And this is serious because I think it really tells the story. You know, then they run around in the mainstream press and wonder why we don't trust them or believe in what their answers are, why we don't want to wear masks or why we won't trust or whatever else. And you listen to Dr. Roger Hopkinson on this. You listen to the Senate testimony of Dr. Pierre Corey. You learn about ivermectin being used very successfully in other countries. And at some point you go, man, I don't trust a word they say. You got Joe Biden. How would he know that the dark days of the COVID are ahead of us, not behind us? How would Joe, of all people, know that? He's not a doctor. And then Fauci's saying, hey, even after the vaccines, you're still going to have to wear masks and social distance. And, you know, we're still going to have to lock everybody down. And, you know, what kind of a statement is that from a doctor?
Well, and you got to think about that, Sam. That's what I'm talking about, this critical thinking. Why would they tell you that you still have to wear a mask after you get a supposed vaccine? Because it's not a vaccine. It's an immune system booster that boosts your immune system reaction and makes it more active and ramps it up. It isn't stopping the virus. It isn't stopping you from getting it. It's just ramping it up, your response. So that's why they're telling you still got to wear your mask and you can still spread it.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, this is hard to fathom. What's going on in America? This is serious, serious, serious business. Our prayers are that we can get to the answers, that we can tell the truth, that we cannot make this a money game, but that we can stand up and bring healing and stability and safety to our society. According to the National Vaccine Information Center, you ready for this? Over 3,000 adverse reactions to the so-called vaccine already known. Yeah, over 3,000 health impact events after COVID-19 vaccines.